T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall.
We're trying to wake Chicago up.
Live at 5 on 670 The Score.
And here they come.
I vote for Theo for anything. Listening to him speak is mesmerizing. Listening to him talk about the various issues that this team is dealing with, whether it's emails from the financier himself, Joe Ricketts, or whether it is listening to him talk about Addison Russell, the free agent stuff, whatever subject he shifts to, it's almost as if he didn't have to prepare. His extemporaneous thoughts are so superior, and his ability to express them is so superior to anyone else we see on the scene. It's just like, Theo, could you just keep talking?
The Cubs are teaching a winter semester course on sociology looking at right now.
That's exactly right.
And every time Theo gets in front of the microphone, it's like he is the professor and he can do whatever he wants and he can say whatever needs to be said. I think his willingness to be introspective is what impresses me as much as anything. Now, certainly he delivers, right? He has the ability to combine eloquence, empathy, and just an awareness that other people lack, other executives lack, not just in sports, in industry,
you know,
in business.
Is? You know what it is? In a world where we are kind of surrounded by bombast, he lacks that completely.
Absolutely.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall.
Your morning guy over there.
Mornings on The Score.
They got Otto Porter Jr. keeps the handle, comes up shooting on the fade. He's got the mojo going. And they go right elbow. Porter, the fade, 21-footer. Bam! Here's your career high. Otto Porter Jr. with 35. And Porter again. Got it! Otto Porter Jr. on fire with a topside 18-footer. Terrific win for the Bulls to end an 11-game home losing streak in the final, 122-110 over the Memphis Grizzlies.
Oh, dear God, no!
Mully Hall.
I'm so fired up.
Here we go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. Good morning, David. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Mully. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you, pal.
Let me be the first to wish you a happy
Valentine's
Day.
And we should say that you did give Valentine's to everyone, not just me. So it's great.
Okay.
It was very thoughtful of you. Don't you sometimes wish that we were all kind of still in second grade and it didn't matter if it was a boy or a girl? You just gave a Valentine to
everyone. Everyone gets some candy.
And you signed your name kind of in a scrawl.
Well, we're all about inclusion here.
Yeah, why not? I think
it's a
fun
thing. I got
that
yesterday. Dad, Valentine's Day is so hard. I had to sign my name 26 times. Why does Valentine's Day have to be so hard, Dad? So hard.
Why do you have to give Valentine's to guys you don't like?
26 times, Dad, I had to sign my name.
That's pretty good. And there are, what, 27 kids in the class?
I guess.
That's a big class.
Counting her,
she's not giving one to herself.
I guess what I'm saying. Pretty good.
I like you.
Wait till she starts dating.
I like you.
That's going to be even harder Valentine's Day for a dad.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I don't know. That might not be. No. Can you imagine coming to pick up your prom date and come and Dustin standing there staring at you? I mean, my goodness gracious. Yeah. Oh, boy. That's rough business, pal. And I'm only joking about it.
We got some time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, plenty of time.
Yeah. Oh, you got plenty of time.
It goes fast.
Yeah, it does.
Manny Machado, do you love the White Sox circle, yes or no?
You know, I love that they've left the locker for him. I don't know why. I just love it. And I love the idea that his two friends are on either side, his brother-in-law's on one side, and his best buddies on the other, his workout pals.
It's like
on the
a memorial.
Other. It's so beautiful.
It's a tribute.
It really
the tribute
is.
Locker. What happens if he signs with the Phillies? What happens to that locker?
Yeah, it's a bit
just
of a problem.
Extra stuff?
I think he just put his face in there. I don't know. I don't even want anyone to ever have it.
Rick Kahn was pretty funny, though. You have to admit.
Empty. Yeah,
he's got a
funny.
Very good sense of humor. They've handled this pretty well publicly.
They seem to be amused by the
privately,
whole thing.
They can't be amused.
No,
privately, they've got to be like, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
any
I'd be,
word?
I'd be just slamming my head in the car door, just kind of walk out just to give myself a little relief.
Have you hit refresh
bam,
yet
bam.
Again, Kenny? See what it's on the Twitter machine?
Hey, the Cubs signed a bullpen arm. They are finished now, huh?
Was that the affordable bullpen arm Theo was referencing?
I don't think so. I think
Xavier Cedeño.
I think that was just a crime of opportunity.
When you have the inclusion of the words, he has to make the team for the deal to stick. I mean, he might be a great signing. It might be a disappointment, but he's not going to make the difference. I don't think the Pecota is going to refigure their predictions again.
Wait, Pecota? Huh? Is Pecota the enemy of the people? What happened?
Why is Pecota going down?
Why does Pecota hate the Cubs?
80 victories now.
I know.
Dead last in the NL Central.
Well, how did that happen?
I don't know. They got worse by going to Arizona.
I think
you set your clock back an hour and then two victories.
Pecota, I know it's just an algorithm and it's just looking at numbers, but it also apparently can be offended. Because when everyone started barking about it, no one likes Pecota. Pecota
we'll
came
you.
Back and said, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to hold my breath until you're in last place.
You don't like metrics?
How do they put them in last place?
By Pittsburgh?
They're
it's unbelievable.
In last place.
They're dropping like a stone.
Well, the starting pitching rotation got older, so.
Yeah, I guess. I think it's the framing.
In a week. It must be.
Personally,
it's the framing.
Think it's the framing.
I know. Well, they saw Wilson Contreras, pitchers and catchers report. They saw that first day of framing.
Yep.
That's worth two victories.
It. Someone put a case on Wilson Contreras, and Pecota reacted. It's as simple as that. He framed him. Yeah, the Cubs dropping in Pecota. What are you going to do? The Bulls. The Bulls snapped that 11-game home losing streak. They beat the Grizzlies and Joakim Noah and Mike Conley Jr. Do you know, I was blessed enough as a youngster to go to Luther South.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Quigley South, but to find myself walking over to Luther South, which was relatively close to our home. And I got to see some of Mike Conley Sr. Mike Conley, the triple jumper, was a great high school basketball player. Great high school basketball player. And his son is now losing to the Bulls. It's just amazing, isn't it?
His son's a really good basketball player in his own right, a difference maker.
Mike Conley is a
thought he was going to get
Olympian,
traded.
Right?
Yeah, well, Mike Conley Sr. is definitely.
Right. But I saw him play
the headliner in that family. Although they both have quite a bit to be proud of. Yeah,
they had a kid on that team that went to Bradley.
People forget he's got that Chicago in his background.
Oh yeah, there's Chicago.
He looked
there.
Good in the Bulls uniform.
Mike Conley Jr.
Yeah,
he'd solve a lot of problems.
By the way, Otto Porter Jr. didn't get the memo.
Yeah, apparently he's not trying for Zion. Huh?
He was asked to describe himself after the game, and he said, "I'm a winner." And nobody's arguing with that, but that's going to be a problem because he makes the Bulls better.
Well, he
16 of 20.
You know, I was watching
16 out of 20.
I was watching the Ramblers lose, so I kept going back and forth. And every time I would go back, he'd hit a shot.
Okay, this is
like,
what
no!
you missed. This is what you missed.
The Bulls, did you not get the memo?
The Bulls looked like an NBA team offensively last night again.
Right.
They have multiple ball handlers, as Jim Boylan likes to point out, and it worked. Zach LaVine was bringing the ball up.
Yep.
Archie Diakono was doing his thing very unselfishly.
11 assists.
You had Lauri Markkanen with another 20-point, 10-rebound game, fifth straight. You know, there's only two other Bulls players in history who have done that five straight games. MJ and Scotty, I think, is the way they're known by. And then Otto Porter Jr., 37 points,
37
career high.
37 points. And I can't help but be slightly amused when you said that Ryan Arcidiacono was doing his thing and he wasn't selfish. If he was selfish, he wouldn't be in the NBA, right? I mean, if he was doing his thing and it consisted of him trying to score, I don't think anyone would stand.
That's a guy who knows what he is and what he isn't. And I couldn't
plays
help
within his game.
Couldn't help but watch that and think, okay, they're missing Chris Dunn, and this is working so well, and they're missing Chris Dunn.
I think it's exactly the opposite. They're not missing Chris Dunn.
That's the point.
Right.
Is that team seemed to function very well
without
him.
There's an argument to be made that they talk about this in Boston, that when Kyrie is not playing, you know, as they got to the playoffs last year, got to the Eastern Conference and got took LeBron to seven games, when he is out, they move the ball better and they play better. He's got such great handle that they tend to ball watch when he's on the floor, mm-hmm. and they actually play better. And I think it's a crazy comment, but there is a theory that they play better as a team without Kyrie. Is the same thing possible with Chris Dunn different reasons?
For different reasons, maybe, but I think I didn't watch the game last night and think, oh my gosh, there's another careless turnover. They don't seem to turn the ball over as much with Chris Dunn not in there. And that's maybe not fair totally, because I think he offers a lot of other things about his game defensively, and he certainly is a good penetrator and needs to finish better. But the careless turnover wasn't a problem as much last night as I felt like it has been in past times watching the Bulls. By the way, Mike Conley Jr., $152 million contract?
What about the careless whisper?
Wow.
That was a Wham reference, right? Or is
George
that a
Michael.
Michael reference?
Both.
Conley makes, $30 million a year. So he's making that Otto Porter money.
I guess he's pretty proud, too. Yeah. I guess his dad may have a big name, but I think Mike Conley Jr. did okay for himself.
Well, I think he did a lot better than his father. Isn't that the whole point, is to have the next generation exceed whatever you achieve?
Mike
Conley
achieved
it.
Mike Conley, senior Olympian, though, right?
That's well, gold medalist, I believe, right?
Yes.
Wasn't he a triple jumper?
Representing your country. There's no price you can put on that.
Hop, skip, and a jump?
I think. Hey, listen,
not accurate.
You're the guy who saw him in high school. You should be the Mike Conley senior expert.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, he won an Olympic gold in 1992, silver 1984.
Okay.
He is an Olympic medalist.
He's a gold medalist.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the $152 million.
Okay. I don't know, man.
Point
buy
well
a
taken.
Lot of gold medals for that.
Point well taken.
I don't know. I think that gold medal is representing your country. That's according to Mr. David. Oh, boy. What is that, Kevin? Are you flossing? What the hell's going on? Okay. Well, we got the 5-5. The Bulls are done now with the till the All-Star break, right? So they get to. So Otto Porter Jr. gets to relax. The Blackhawks host the Devils tonight.
Right.
And they will be back in action on Saturday.
Start another seven-game win streak.
There we go. Here's hoping. And Joe Flacco will be the Broncos quarterback next season. We got to talk about that.
The elite Joe Flacco.
Vic Fangio and Joe Flacco. And I heard someone say, well, you know, Vic coached him at Baltimore. He was on that staff.
He was a position coach.
He was a linebacker coach. Hey, don't throw up my guys. That was his coaching.
So he knows him. That's it. That's the only thing.
They have a vague connection.
They were in the same building. They did this. Yeah, they worked for the same organization.
Vic made him a great quarterback.
But that's a good move for the Broncos.
Well, we'll talk about that. Okay. How is that a good move for the Broncos?
It's a good move for the Broncos.
How?
You've got a veteran quarterback.
Okay.
That in the right system can be very valuable and provide some stability where you really didn't have a dynamic quarterback last year in Case Keenum.
Yeah. So
it's an upgrade.
You still don't have a dynamic quarterback.
It's an upgrade.
David, is that the move that puts them over the Chiefs?
I don't know that they were going to get a quarterback this offseason that's going to put them over the Chiefs.
Well, they better draft one, right? Because
they're going to draft one, I would imagine, yeah.
So
you trust John Elway to draft the right quarterback?
You got a bridge named Joe Flacco?
It's an elite bridge.
Really? I wouldn't say Joe Flacco's elite.
That was the big debate about Joe Flacco.
Yeah, because according to the
listen, nobody in Chicago,
Phil Emery scale, he won enough.
Chicago's the last place we should be talking about what an elite bridge is.
This one's for Pat.
Do you trust John Elway to draft a quarterback? That's awful. All right. We're going to take a moment and we'll come back with the 5-5. That is next with all sorts of fun and please God an AAF question or some connection. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
It's 5-5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5-5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What is the most important message the Cubs need to send as it relates to the team's new network agreement with Sinclair Broadcast?
I believe that message can be summed up by one of our many texters. Talk sports, don't talk politics. That's often screamed at us every day, even though we don't really talk politics. But if you touch the political arena, it is the third rail of sports radio, apparently. Yeah, I think that the message is broadcast the games. Don't broadcast any messaging in between it for whatever your political stance is. People don't want to be beaten over the head with whatever message is trying to be hinted at or driven during the broadcast. And as long as that doesn't happen, I think people will be fine with it.
I don't disagree with that necessarily, but I think that there's even a broader point that they need to reinforce and stress and emphasize. And I think in talking to a sports executive, TV executive in town yesterday who would be in a position to know these things, kept reinforcing this idea. It's about pricing, it's about programming, and it's about politics. And I think almost in that order. So as sensitive as the Cubs are to this link with Sinclair Broadcasting, as much as it deserves the discussion and the attention that we're giving it, I think the number one priority has to be pricing. How affordable is this going to be to the Cub fan who's sitting there and deciding whether or not they want to pay an extra $7 to $10 per month to watch their favorite team? And it's got to be a message delivered that says it's worth it, it's going to be affordable, and it's not going to change significantly. And how do you make it feel like it's worth it? By delivering programming, delivering on the promise of credibility around the games that you're going to televise. Maybe it's Brian Dempster, who's now being talked about as being the face of the network. Whatever it is, I know. But you got the programming, pricing, programming, and then the politics. You got to make sure that the CEO is hold him accountable to what he says when he says this is a totally different strategy and genre. It's sports, not news, so there won't be any political implications or politics around this. That's Ripley. Chris Ripley, the CEO of Sinclair Broadcasting, hold him to that.
The most important message is this is a 24-hour all-sports station. Now, we all know it's about money, but what you sell is the convenience factor and more in-depth Cubs coverage. Now, there's no more game starting in a year when you know the Cubs are playing. Wait. Where are they? NBC Sports Chicago? Is that NBC Sports Chicago Plus? Are they on ABC today? Are they on WGN? Oh, is it a national game? ESPN, MLB Network? No. We're going to simplify your life a little bit for, I don't know, I guess 150 of the games, and they're always going to be here. You know where they're going to be. And as far as more Cubs coverage, we're not on a station that has to split time between all of the other teams in town. We're going to have more Cubs coverage. We don't care about your politics. Sinclair is just our distributor. And that's all they're being used for, not about the politics. We don't care about that. My issue with this is we've all known this for a very long time. A month ago, Kenny was talking about it at the Cubs convention, actually giving some of the details about it. After Joe Ricketts and after Theo, you couldn't hold off just a little bit, but it's sports. That's what you're selling.
The price is certainly a really important sticking point, I think, here. You know, I think Netflix just raised their prices, which is insane because usually when there's more competition, you know, between things like Hulu and Netflix and competing services, usually that means if there's competition, prices go down. So that kind of angered some people, myself included. I don't think any of these streaming services, and I am a subscriber to several of them, I don't think that, you know, once you get above $10 a month, I think that's when you start to lose a certain amount of people. So I don't know how much it's going to cost. I don't know how much people are willing to pay. The Cubs are, you know, a big ticket. They're a big draw right now. They're in their window, despite the fact that the team didn't really spend like it this off season. But I think the price is going to be the most important point here, even beyond, you know, the political aspect of it. And when people say, you know, stick to sports, don't talk about politics, this, that, and the third, that just means stick to sports unless you say something that I agree with. If you say something
exactly.
I agree with, then it's actually fine. But if you talk about something else, I'm gonna, you know, bang my fist down and pout and be a snowflake, to borrow a term. So no, I don't want to hear Clark the Cub talking about migrant caravans or Len Casper talking about fake news or anything like that. If they avoid that and they make it affordable, you know, nobody's gonna care about the Sinclair aspect.
Unfortunately, it's a one-word answer. It's price. It's only price. If the price is fair, people are going to buy it because right now the product is good. So it's all about price.
I love it. Now you ask me the perfect question. You set me up to win.
What did you think of Bobby Portis's criticism in a Hoops Hype story about the way the Bulls informed him of his trade, and were the Bulls disingenuous?
I think Bobby Portis has done a lot of talking since he left town. That's not a huge surprise. I think he's kind of sent two different messages. One is that he understands everything that happened and almost is making the best of the opportunity now because he's been really good since he got to the Wizards. The other is he felt a little bit like the Bulls were disingenuous, and I think that he was using words. And as we found out later from Casey Johnson talking to Mark Bartlestein, who is the agent in town, he's kind of using words that Bartlestein told Bobby Portis, and he's kind of attributing them to the Bulls and saying that if they were going to trade him, they weren't going to deal with him unless they got an offer for Kevin Durant or LeBron James, which made him feel very secure in Chicago. And then all of a sudden they turn around and they did get a very good offer for Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker, and they dealt him. So I think that's pro sports. I don't know that I'm willing to go as far as saying that this is the latest example of the Bulls management dealing a player and he's going to be, you know, complaining, grousing on the way out of town. If he wanted to be here long term, certainly there's going to be some feelings that are hurt and some maybe a relationship that needs to be repaired. But this is a deal that, as we're watching in the four games since this happened, very good for the Bulls. So it was a deal that maybe they couldn't refuse. It was a deal maybe they didn't see coming. And I just think this is all part and parcel of when you trade a guy that was very happy in his environment. This is a shock to his system, and that's what we're hearing.
Yeah, I think that Bobby should stop now. I really do. I think that it just doesn't help him. I get it. His feelings are hurt, and he feels betrayed, and he thought he was a Bull for life, and they were going to roll out the green money for him, whatever he was expecting. It hasn't happened, and I think that it's difficult for him, but this is not going to help him. This is not going to help him moving forward. It's not going to make him a more attractive commodity to teams. I love that he's motivated and is making a point on the court. That's the way to handle it. It doesn't help him to go out and badmouth people and to say that they lied to him and all that stuff. I think that I don't think the Bulls were disingenuous. I think they did. You know, when a guy turns down a contract, he's got to expect that there's a possibility they'll move him. And it didn't shock me that he was included in the trade. There had been some rumors about different people, and we talked about, would you trade this guy? Would you trade that guy? So I think his name came up in our conversation 2 days before the trade, if I'm not mistaken. So it's very difficult for me to feel like, you know, if he didn't have his finger on the pulse of what was going on, that's on him too. And it's a business, and, you know, he didn't make himself indispensable. So do that now.
Gar Forman's a very easy target. Mm-hmm. And most people that have conversations with Gar Forman will walk away and say, yeah, I don't really believe anything he just told me. There's a reason they've taken away his ability to speak in public most of the time. Sometimes, if you're next to PAX, we'll let you speak, but you're not going out there by yourself. Listen, he may have said this to the agent. It's possible. But if you think about it for a second, that makes zero sense. I mean, if we start going over rosters, it wouldn't be that difficult to name over 100 players that you would take over Bobby Portis, a guy that turned on a contract to be a restricted free agent over the summer. So no, I don't think the Bulls are disingenuous.
You don't think that the Gar Forman and John Paxson were disingenuous?
Well, whatever they said, fine. But just think about it. I said that.
When did Bobby Portis become untouchable?
Think about it for a second. Oh, you're only if LeBron or Durant. Really? Who believes that?
Yeah. I'd trade him for one of those guys for sure.
Would you?
but who makes that deal? Others.
Now, that's a take right there. I get it. It's a business. If a good deal comes along, you have to jump at it. The Bulls did get a pretty nice offer for Bobby Portis, so they felt that they had to take it. I get that. But when your employer, and I don't care what business you're in, whether it's the radio business or, you know, the NBA or whatever, when your employer tells you something and then that comes back around and turns out to be a bold-faced lie 48 hours later, you're gonna feel that sting a little bit. And we all know Bobby Portis is a really emotional guy. He has been maybe running his mouth a little bit too much, Molly. I think I might agree with you there. At some point, you do need to kind of get over it, put your head down and play. He's still very well compensated. He's going to be very well compensated wherever he signs this offseason, whether it's back with Washington or wherever he ends up. But yes, of course the Bulls were disingenuous. That's one of the calling cards of this regime. I don't trust Gar Forman any further than I could throw him, and that ain't far.
This isn't just a Bulls thing, though, okay? You know, Magic Johnson said it best the other day, if you heard that cut. I mean, this is a business. So for all the young guys that supposedly knows were out of whack, that when the Lakers were going to trade basically the entire roster to the Pelicans in order to acquire AD, welcome to the party, pal, to quote a great Christmas movie, okay? I mean, this is what happens. It's a business, okay? People lie. People have to protect. Okay, this isn't... I'd be happy to pile on Gar Forman, okay? I'd be happy to. But this is the NBA. This is not a Gar Paxson thing. This is not a Gar Pax creation or any of that kind of BS right now. This is the NBA. It's a business. This is what happens. If Bobby wanted to remain a Bull, he could have simply not bet on himself, and he could have signed that deal. And then we wouldn't... But at the same time, Bobby's entitled to have his opinion and entitled to speak out. But I think as Bobby Portis grows, especially during this offseason for him, which will be a clumsy offseason probably, he's going to figure out that this is the NBA and welcome to the party, pal.
It's a tough one, Bruce. It's a very fair question and obviously a ripe one.
Do you believe Manny Machado wants to play for the White Sox? Why or why not?
No, I don't think he wants to play for the White Sox. I think if he wanted to play for the White Sox, he'd already be playing for the White Sox. I think that he's looking for the best offer he can get, and he hasn't found it yet, and he doesn't have any other offers, and spring training has started, and they got a locker spot for him and all the rest of it. But if he wanted to play for the White Sox, he wants to get paid. God bless him. I don't blame him at all. He's on the auction block, and he wants to get the most money he can get, and he's waiting to see if he can get a better offer. It doesn't mean he won't play for the White Sox, but want to? Of course not.
Well, what professional athlete wants to play for any team? They want to go to whoever's going to compensate them in a way that makes them satisfied and feel rewarded.
Tom Brady wants to play for the Patriots.
Because he was drafted by the Patriots, because he had no other choice. And once he got there, he won and he wanted to stay. Manny Machado, whether he wants to play for the White Sox or not, frankly, a fair question. Totally irrelevant. He wants to play where he's going to be paid. He wants to play at this point where he's feel like he's wanted, like he's rewarded. A terrible tweet yesterday, or a great tweet, kind of terrible reality. Manny Machado has been a free agent longer than he was a Los Angeles Dodger.
He was a Dodger for 103 days, and he's been a free agent, I guess today would be 108.
That's how long this has dragged on. So I don't know that we know the true answer to that question, whether he wants to or not, but I think even if he didn't want to and the Sox gave him the best offer, he would sign the contract and you would welcome him with open arms.
Colin McHugh went on Twitter yesterday, the Astros pitcher, and he made sure to say that the empty locker means nothing, that it's just a perk that all veterans get in spring training. Rick Hahn said,
I'm sure nobody ever heard of
at Sox Fest, that there's been more misinformation out there regarding this free agency class than he's ever seen before in the game. So we're trying to answer a question, and we don't really know the offer. There's still a gap of $75 million between the reported offers that are out there.
And Joe, you're right. And John Morosi was on McNeil and Parkins yesterday predicting that Manny would sign with the Sox for a $270 million contract.
Jeez. Yeah, we haven't even heard that number yet. The highest we were at was $250. If it's $250, it is clear, and he hasn't signed, that he doesn't want to be here. I think he's hesitant because he's worried about going back to an Orioles situation. I assume that he wants to win. A franchise that has a lot of promise, but you don't know if that's going to end up panning out. So I'd say no, he does not want to play for the White Sox. But I'm guessing because we don't know the offers.
I don't think he wants to play for the White Sox either, and it's not because the White Sox are the second team or not because not so many people go to the games or maybe they're still a couple years away from winning. I don't think he wants to play anywhere specifically. He just wants to play for the team that gives him the most money, and that's fine. He's totally entitled to do that. I'm not going to hold that against him. If he doesn't sign with the White Sox, he'll be gutted for sure, especially after this agonizing, prolonged free agency process, and it's going to be really brutal and probably a step back for the organization that's trying to establish, you know, a cornerstone going forward and a key to this rebuild. But I'm not going to hold it personally against Manny Machado. I'm not going to boo him if he comes into town and I'm at the game. You know, it's not like he's Trevor Bauer or some piece of garbage like that. Now, I'll boo a guy like that. You know, he's an idiot. But Manny Machado is just a guy who wants to get paid. More power to him. If he comes to the Sox, great. If he goes somewhere else, good. Get your money. You earned it.
I think he wants to be a White Sox if the White Sox are the team that will pay him the most money. I have to unfortunately agree with Kevin there. I will boo him, though, because this has just been ridiculous. And the idea, again, I stated it yesterday, that we should feel bad for him or Bryce Harper because of all the anguish that they have to. They don't know where they're going to play baseball next year. Oh my goodness gracious.
They don't know which bank they're going to cash their massive checks.
The horror of that. Where will my wife shop? Where will we eat steak? Oh, the horror.
But just for the record, you're still excited.
Oh my goodness, it's so unfair.
If he came to the Sox, you'd be excited about that.
Absolutely.
You
have said that from day one.
I just want to make sure you're still feeling
that. I will go to 35th and Shields
and boo him?
At least once.
And you'll boo him?
No.
You just said you'll boo him.
No, I'd boo him if he didn't end up here.
Oh, okay.
I think it's enough. I think, yesterday I said, I think the trolling is fun until he ends up as a Philly. Right, I think it's been fun. He's kept it light. He's kept it loose. He has every right to keep his options open. But while he's keeping his options open, I don't want to hear about how rough it is that they don't know where they're going to spend half the year when they're half the time they're on the road anyway.
Where they spend their money?
Who?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a real loaded question, but I'm sure it's directed at Dustin.
What current White Sox player? Will you most be interested in watching in training camp?
Why did you repeat current?
Because you're not allowed to say Manny Machado.
Okay, all right, that's fine. I don't want to say Manny Machado. I wondered if
go
you
with
were...
Bryce Harper.
I wondered if you said current like that because technically Eloy Jimenez is not
that's what I thought.
White Sox player yet.
See, well, he's a lot smarter than I am.
He's a White Sox minor leaguer.
You realize what I was doing, and I didn't even realize.
Well, I'm there for you, Kev. I think that he is a minor leaguer in name only. It's all about Eloy. This spring is all about Eloy. Even when Manny Machado reports, it will be about Manny. But I think there's going to be a fascination with the next great player that the White Sox are going to bring up in April, whenever they bring him up. So I think that is number one. Number two is maybe Moncada. All this talk about Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, the free agency has overshadowed the fact that this has been this is a very big season for Yoan Moncada and the emphasis on his development. I think probably for his benefit has not been there in the offseason. We haven't obsessed over what his next step will be, and I think that's a big one he needs to take. So those are the two guys at the top of my list.
Yeah, I thought you were supposed to take one, so I can't take two.
I'm sorry.
We'll give you Eloy because I'm taking Yoan Moncada.
All right.
He struck out 217 times last year. Okay, this was the number one prospect in baseball. This was the, whatever, $50, $63 million signing bonus man who was the centerpiece of the Chris Sale trade, and you've got him in your lineup and he's there, and is he the next best thing or is he a bust? I think that is an open question, sadly. And I'd like to know. I'd like to know where he's going to play. I'd like to know if Madrigal eventually takes over at second base since he doesn't apparently have an arm to play third base, and Manny's going to be in the middle of that infield. So does that mean Moncada goes to third base, and why are you delaying that if it's inevitable, and how are you going to work? There's a lot of guys I'm interested in, but I really need some form of confirmation / determination with Yoan Moncada, and I would like that to begin this season.
How about revelation?
Well, whatever it takes, David, whatever word that we plug in, I want to know which way he's going.
I like your Asians.
And I hope it goes the right way.
Yeah, I agree with everything there, Mullies. But then I'll go with the Eloy side, because once this Machado stuff is wrapped up, once we find out where he's going, it's going to be like Chris Bryant. All the attention is going to run to Eloy and when he's going to get called up and what he's going to be. This is a guy that could end up in a short period of time. He could make the jump to the roster and be the best player on your roster. Like, we might be saying that in the middle of the season, that he's better than Abreu. That's how good this guy is. So I don't know if he qualifies, but I'll say Eloy.
You know, it's been so rare that the White Sox have just had somebody come up and he's just good right off the bat. It, with no questions asked, you know, like a Chris Bryant, Carlos Correa, one of these highly rated prospects that just comes up and starts hitting right
Fernando
away.
Tatis Jr.
Fernando Tatis Jr., perhaps.
There's a Gordon Beckham show.
Yeah, Gordon Beckham.
That's enough. I'm going to scroll of you. Every week. I don't appreciate the condescension there.
Maybe Gordon could be the host of the White Sox Network when they get that up and running.
He's back in the majors, isn't he? Or
yeah,
he's
he
got
is.
An invitation
he's a Tiger.
Camp.
Yeah, he's a Tiger.
Also, sort of the majors. They're going to probably be like a 110-loss team. But I'm going to say Moncada as well. Mully, he was pretty up and down last year, mostly down, off to a pretty good start of the season. And I defended him as strongly as I could, but the strikeouts accumulated. And while that's not the end-all, be-all of an offensive player, you know, he wasn't as well-rounded as you would have liked to see. Believe it or not, he and Tim Anderson were both two-win players last year. That led the team, along with Omar Narvaez, who's been shipped off to Seattle, so he's gone there. And Moncada is so physically talented, and he's big, he's strong, he's got a good arm, he's got great plate discipline, which is something you can't teach a guy, really. So that's a bonus, but he's got to put it all together. You know, he's got the ability to be a superstar, not only in terms of baseball, but as you know, he's a great-looking guy, let's just be honest. You could put him on a billboard or a magazine, and you could draw people in that regard, too, and have him be one of the faces of your franchise, and what a face it is. So I'm going to go with you on Moncada here. I really just need him to be better.
Well, if you're a Cubs fan, then I think it's got to be Aloy, right? You have to watch and you want to see, unfortunately, what might have been, what you might have had. And he's an exciting player, and he's in the town you live in. And he's another draw, potentially, to head over to 35th and Shields. So my eyes are going to be on Aloy.
It's a great question, and so many of them were so good. In fact, all of them I learned something from, that if I mention one of them, I'm going to leave out all of them. And if I try to mention all of them, I won't remember some, and I'll regret that.
If you were advising Colin Kaepernick and the end game is getting back to the NFL, would you tell him to approach an AAF team about playing? And if you were an AAF team, would you sign Kaepernick?
Yeah! The streak continues, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm off tomorrow.
Yeah.
And Monday. Are you guys going to keep this
We've already discussed it. We've already decided we'll begin again on Tuesday.
Okay.
It's more a trolling of you than it is an actual interest in
just
AAF.
We're just throwing away a question every day during the segment to get one over on old Kevbo.
It depends how good the games are this weekend.
So. Yeah, exactly. It depends on the ratings.
Yeah.
Come a long way, Kevin. Who would have thunk it?
NBA All-Star Weekend, man. Who's going to be watching the AAF?
Well, find out on Tuesday.
We'll find out.
At any rate, I think that this is a really good question because I think that Kaepernick, that issue has sort of faded in large part because it's been so long since he played. And I don't expect him to embrace the AAF or try to play in the AAF. He declined an offer from, was it Seattle or Baltimore? Who did he turn down because it wasn't enough money? The last chance
$1 million
he had
from the Seahawks,
was that a Seahawks
I think it might
thing
have been, yeah.
So I think that, you know, clearly there are other things involved as well, that he wants to be compensated fairly for his talent, and that wouldn't take place in the AAF, and they don't have the kind of protection that you would desire if you were kind of trying to get the rust off. But I would love to see him play. I would personally love to see him play, and I think that it would be a great method of getting back in the league if indeed he still wants that. I mean, his lawsuit is pending. I understand that that wouldn't help his cause, so to speak, but it would help his cause because it would put him – it wouldn't help his lawsuit, but it would help him to get things back out there. If I were an AAF team and the danger of him – standing during the national anthem, whatever issue it is that people are afraid of with him, I would sign him in a heartbeat. He would bring tons of eyes to that league, including NFL people. He would bring all their eyes to it. So I think from an AAF standpoint, I would love if they could get Kaepernick. I would love if they could get Tim Tebow. There was talk about Tebow being offered a contract by Steve Superior down in Orlando, and a guy yesterday didn't understand why we were calling him Steve Superior.
Why are you calling him that, boy?
It's Superior. Don't you know his name? Yeah. Have you ever met him? At any rate, it's a nickname. At any rate, I think that it would be fun if you could watch Tebow, if you could watch Colin Kaepernick. I think that the kind of that element of it would definitely interest me, and I think it would bring a lot of eyes to the league. So I think from a league standpoint, definitely. I think from a player standpoint, it's not what he wants. How would that affect his lawsuit? So I think that there are other things that he would have to consider.
Maybe. You know, I think that when you talk about the NFL opportunity that he turned down of the Seahawks, it was as a backup. And I don't think that he looked at any situation that was in front of him based on what's been reported. There was
backup to a Pro Bowler.
And he wasn't going to be a guy that you get on the field. And I can understand why you would hesitate there if you're Colin Kaepernick. This is not that situation. This would be an opportunity to showcase your skills. What's the number one rule in football and scouting? You know, the eye in the sky doesn't lie. If Colin Kaepernick can play, it'll be obvious on video. And you need that tape. You need to show people that you still can play. You're 31 years old. You haven't been on a football field in a meaningful moment in a couple of years. If you still can play quarterback against professional defensive players who want to, you know, harm you, tackle you, bring you down, if you can still run an offense, show me. Don't tell me. And I think this is the opportunity that would be in front of him. So, yeah, this would be a great thing. I know it maybe would have implications for his lawsuit. It would have a lot of things otherwise you'd be concerned about. But if it's just about football, if it's about playing quarterback, there are teams out there that you can help. There's an opportunity here for you to show. And I think definitely if you're an AAF team, you say, if we're willing to go to Tim Tebow, a minor league baseball player, to kind of bring eyes to this league, Colin Kaepernick would make everybody stare.
So the NFL already sent the message that there are at least 96 quarterbacks over the last 2 years better than Colin Kaepernick. And I'm looking at this. They had a 32-quarterback draft for the AAF. We do this for a living. I don't know who these people are. I don't know half of them. And half of them have never even made a NFL roster, more than half of them. So if I'm a team, yes, I sign them. This is not going to happen. There's no way an AAF team brings them in because of the connections they have to the National Football League. And the goal here is to be a developmental league for the NFL, so they don't want to upset the NFL. They are not bringing in Kaepernick.
100% nailed it right there, Joe. The idea is to become a feeder league or a minor league for the NFL. That's what the AAF is aspiring to be, and I don't think that they want to bring in Colin Kaepernick because of the bad blood, I guess you could say, between him and the owners in the NFL who did collude to take him out of the league, to take away prime years of his career, to stop him from playing football, to stop him from making money on a football field. And I don't think Colin Kaepernick would want to give them the satisfaction. And I don't think the real people pulling the strings here, who are NFL executives and billionaires and the NFL owners, are going to want to open that can of worms either. So, no, I don't think if I were him, I would have any interest in this, and I don't think the interest would be going the other way either.
I mean, of course he should be playing. I was trying to do some quick... The Google machine was giving me a little bit of a fit here, but, you know, we goofed around about Manny Machado and how long he has been a free agent versus how long he's been a Dodger. I mean, how long has Colin Kaepernick been a free agent? When's the last time? The last time he took a snap was in 2016.
Right.
Okay, I don't care that he's been running around and throwing and working out and looking good with his shirt off and getting ready for the combine, basically, okay? That's not real football. So it would be in his best interest to actually have live reps with, like, shoulder pads and helmets and guys that are looking to feed their family coming after his rear end. That would be good for him. But Joe, there's no way this league touches him because the NFL doesn't want him to play. But, you know, at least if they would let him play, maybe we could all just stop. Because if he can't play in the AAF, he can't play in the NFL. And then we could put this thing to bed once and for all. That would be nice.
But if you can't tackle him in the AAF, that's going to look even worse for all the NFL teams.
Oh, no, you can light some. But, well, that's fine. Then you know what, David? Then get him back in the league. Then he deserves it. I don't know how good of a quarterback he was, minus Jim Harbaugh. Does he have any college eligibility left? Because maybe Jim Harbaugh could use him at Michigan.
He was a pretty good quarterback. quarterback.
Yes,
he was pretty good quarterback.
Remember that Bears game in the last season?
Yeah. He was good with Jim Harbaugh. David, you can look at sports all over the place. There are certain athletes that are good with certain coaches, and you divorce those two of each other, and that athlete all of a sudden doesn't even look like he can play at the Y, let alone at the professional level.
I'm not willing to say that about Colin Kaepernick.
I just did, but
I'm willing to say it about Jared Goff, because once he lost
Jeff Fisher,
once there was the surrender in the pre-show Super Bowl, greatest coach ever, the young buck kind of gave up and no longer was in his head.
Talk about genuflecting. That was a real life lovey.
Yeah, listen, man, you're the greatest ever in the history of the world, and I bow before you. And I'm, can I get you coffee or something? I just love
Speaking
you.
Speaking of Colin Kaepernick, how'd those Nike boycotts go? Did they shut Nike down yet?
How about it? All right, what's your take? 312-644-6767. What's the most important message that the Cubs need to send as it relates to the new network agreement with Sinclair Broadcasting? What did you think of Bobby Portis's criticism in a Hoopsite story?
Listen up closely, Snowflake.
Where he said the Bulls informed him. I don't know why that's so funny. It might be the monotone. It might be the way he's clearly reading it. And I am Len O'Connor. Do you believe Manny Machado wants to play for the White Sox? Why or why not? What current Sox player are you most interested in watching during training camp? And if you were advising Colin Kaepernick, if the end game is getting back in the NFL, would you approach an AAF team about playing? And if you were an AAF team, would you be afraid of Colin Kaepernick? 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mullion Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.